All right, we are back on the record after our short break on the WoodSpring Suites Hotels SDAP and SIPA appeal, and we're going to direct testimony for Mr. Schramm. So, Mr. Hartman.
Yep. Good afternoon again, Mr. Schramm. Just a few questions on redirect. Thank you for sticking with me. So I wanted. I mean, I'm gonna be jumping around a little bit. I wanted to start just distinguishing, making sure we're distinguishing the notion of cut through trips from circulating trips. So I'll just show you in Exhibit B5. On page six, the one vehicle every 4 to 7 minutes number that we've been talking about, that's based on your prediction of the trips generated in a particular hour by the hotel that will circulate around the credit union in the course of coming to the site. Is that right?
That's correct.
And then we also, I think you were speaking with Mr. Green about the numbers that we're seeing in Exhibit A2, page 9. So this is the Transpo report near the bottom of that page, talking about Transpo's observations of a maximum of 10 vehicles using the KCU drive-through area and then 19 vehicles crossing the current vacant hotel parcel for cut-through, and that's based on current observations. Is that right?
That is also correct.
And so, what you were saying is for the 5 hour field observation periods, that total of 29 vehicles cutting through, that would equate to about 5 to 6 vehicles cutting through under current conditions.
Just going to do a quick calculation. Yeah, 5.8. Yes, I would say that those, my understanding is that is. The 29 vehicles are currently cutting through the site or the bank drive-through. My assessment of how many is just taking 29 divided by 5 hours. I'm saying 5.8, so 5 to 6 vehicles per hour.
Yep. And is your expectation, and you talked about this earlier, that after the hotel is constructed, cutting off the access that those 19 vehicles are currently using, that 29 vehicles would use the KCU drive-through area?
No. My assessment is that I believe, let's start with the 19. I believe that the 19 vehicles that were allegedly or documented to be cutting through the site. It's my professional opinion based on the travel patterns and the circuitous nature that those same 19 trips would have to take if the hotel were there. It's my d assessment that most, and I would say probably all of them, would no longer cut through, and they would use the street system to traverse the site.
Thank you. There was, I think, a fair amount of questions about when this information was presented, and just to ask you about a few of those, I think, not to pick on Mr. Green's wording, I've obviously needed to reword some questions myself, but just I think he asked you at one point at the time of the DNS. Did the county have access to any information about parking in various capacities? And I just wanted to clarify, your response was that you were saying they didn't have your supplemental analysis, Exhibit B5. Is that right?
Correct. That was the intention of my testimony, is that we had not provided any parking analysis or assessment at that time.
And so are you speaking necessarily to what information the county had internally or outside of the analysis that you've provided?
No, I am not. I'm not privy to whether additional information may have been provided.
Similarly, I think when we were talking about the number of trips allocated to different driveways and how you said you would reallocate some of those as depicted in the TIA based on your current circulation analysis. I think the question was that you were providing that analysis for the first time in your hearing testimony. Is that right?
I was providing
The reallocation.
my testimony was my assessment of the reallocation I agree that it, with this question that there was this was the first time that I was providing it in my testimony.
And were you providing that in response to the rebuttal exhibit from Transpo?
Absolutely, yes.
Kind of similarly, I think there was just a question about whether the examiner had access to any data about your conclusions regarding internal trip assignments that were supporting that circulation analysis. And, you know, as you testified, you did not create a document or a table describing that in detail, right?
That's correct.
But you've testified as to your reasoning here today.
I testified to my reasoning primarily in response to the additional documentation by the transport group and the testimony yesterday. Just it was my professional opinion that there was some concern or confusion, or even just statements about how much circulation there would be and the potential impacts of it. I heard no testimony from the other side about their own quantification. I felt that it was important as part of my testimony and the work that we did to provide a more detailed description of how I arrived at my conclusion.
And I think along with that, you were asked about the path of travel for cars leaving the rear parking area. And I'm just going to ask you about this with reference to PDF page 19 of Exhibit F8, just for that site plan graphic. So I think what you said was acknowledging the right in, right out nature of the ridgetop intersection, which is number three in this graphic. A car leaving the rear parking lot could turn out of that ridgetop entrance and have a logical path of travel in multiple directions. Is that right?
Well, my testimony was and continues to be that an exiting vehicle from the west or backside of the hotel site could exit the site onto Ridgetop. It would be required to turn right, but from there would be multiple paths of direction that they could travel, north, south, or east.
Thank you for that. That's obviously better than how I said it. So just after turning right out of that ridgetop driveway, that car could go left or right, meaning north or south on Myrie Road.
Yes, or they can continue straight on Ridgetop to the east.
And so would it be logical for a car parked in the rear of the hotel seeking to go into in any of those directions to use the ridgetop exit rather than circulating around to the Myrie driveway?
Yeah, in my opinion, it would be faster and more convenient for a hotel guest who's parked in the back to use the Ridgetop driveway.
You were asked, I think, on a similar note, by Mr. Green about whether the actual experience of cars circulating through the credit union parking lot, even if they were an average of say every 4 to 7 minutes over the course of an hour, if there might be periods when vehicles come more frequently than that. Do you recall that?
I do.
And was your testimony earlier, as we talked about, that your conclusions about safety and circulation impacts would not change even if there was a vehicle every 2 minutes?
That's correct. I think his question to me was, could there be periods where the traffic numbers are higher? And my answer was yes. And to answer your question, even given that information, it doesn't change the conclusions that I've made about circulation and parking and traffic impacts.
Thank you. I think also with Mr. Green, there was some discussion about hotel guests being advised about the existence of rear parking and what they might do if the parking stalls in front on the east side of the site tended to be full. Do you recall that discussion?
I do.
And I think that the testimony that we heard yesterday is that those hotel guests would default to parking to the south, or I guess possibly to the north on the credit union parcel, rather than using the available hotel parking in the rear. Do you expect that it is likely that that's what would happen?
No, I don't. And I believe my testimony, and I'll clarify it here, is I'm not saying that there will be none. There certainly could be some hotel guests if they can't find parking in the front that could park to the north by the credit union or south by the office building. But my assessment and my testimony is that I believe that most or majority of the hotel guests are going to park in the allocated hotel parking areas for the reasons that I testified to previously.
Do you see a need that there for, I guess, some kind of enforceable condition for hotel guests to be instructed that they are restricted to the rear parking area in order to have, I guess, as you said, the majority of guests park there?
I don't believe it is absolutely necessary to do that in order to accommodate the peak parking demand. I think that what I'm saying is the amount of parking that's provided for the hotel is more than adequate to accommodate the demand. If there are concerns amongst the, tenants and owners of about who's parking where, a parking management strategy, it would be a reasonable way to resolve that.
And I guess what I was taking as the implication of Mr. Green's questions were also that hotel guests are expected to be disobedient in a sense. Based on your experience in this field, and I guess also your experience as a hotel guest, do you have any reason to expect that hotel guests told where hotel parking is located would avoid that hotel parking?
I mean, I have no reason to believe that people would be purposefully avoid signage or direction on what they're provided. I guess it was an awkward question before, and it continues to be. I guess all I would really offer is that, I think for the most part, people do what they're told, but not everyone does. And signage is helpful, it's important, but not everyone, uses it. That's why I can't say with certainty that some hotel users may or won't park away from hotel parking. I'm just saying that I believe that a majority will, not only because of that's where they're being directed or advised, but also because there's availability. And, when there's availability of parking in the hotel, that, like I said in my analysis, I think believe there's plenty of available parking supply for the hotel that the hotel users will use.
Thank you. Let's see. When Mr. Green was asking you about the CCNRs, I understood his question to you, I guess, to be, I didn't write it down exactly, but whether you consider the credit union drive-through or the drive-up area to be part of the access to the shared parking. Do you consider the drive-through or drive-up area to be part of the access to either of the hotel parking lots?
Yeah, I did my best to try to answer his question of how I understood it, but now that you asked it that way, I would not consider or classify the drive up and the ramp up and the drive-through area to the bank to be an accessible route for parking. It's an accessible route for the bank drive up stalls or
And
bank
are you
location.
relying, I guess, in any way on the idea that vehicles not seeking to access the drive up ATM or drive up amenities that, sorry, starting too long a question. Are you relying on the existence of that drive through in any way when you're considering whether there's available and sufficient access for all the conclusions that you're talking about?
No, in fact, what I assumed is that drivers would either not use that what has been classified as a cut through or drive through as a way of circulating in the site. And I believe that there is sufficient maneuverability for the circulation of hotel guests to go around the credit union.
I think some of the questions from Ms. Raymond asking you about the land use category that you chose were asking about the difference between the standard hotel category and an extended stay hotel. And I just wanted to make sure it was clear, as I think you were saying in your testimony earlier. Were you considering the extended stay characteristics of this hotel or the limited service ITE category, or both.
So I would say in my response to her and to clarify, the extended stay nature of this hotel or any hotel is not a distinct characteristic or a measurable element of the parking generation manual. So it's not something I can rely upon to estimate parking demand. Not disputing that there are hotels, especially the WoodSpring Suites, that have an extended stay nature. It's just not, it was not quantified in the IT data. So I can't bring in what those parking characteristics, how that would impact parking. I relied completely on just the categorization of the hotel as a limited service hotel.
And Ms. Raymond was also asking you about what kind of data you would collect if you wanted to know more about an extended stay hotel in particular. I think you spoke to this earlier, but just to clarify, do you believe that you need to do any of that additional data collection here to support the conclusions that you're describing?
No, I don't.
Sorry, just checking my notes one more time. I guess, Mr. Schramm, this is maybe just as my final question, also kind of asking you to repeat something I asked before, but just in light of, all of the questions from Mr. Green about whether, you had visibility at different vantage points, whether you had considered, specific conflicts in the credit union parking lot, based on your personal observations on site, what we talked about today, do you have any concerns that that additional or more specific analysis is necessary to support the conclusions that access and circulation are sufficient and sufficiently safe?
No, I don't need any additional information. Those screenshots that were provided were helpful in describing the existing characteristics of the site. Those I didn't rely upon those graphics in particular to make any of my assessment. I relied upon my own site visit observations of circulation, and then more of an aerial view and a site plan review of how the various parking areas and drive aisles are configured. So those graphics did not limit my ability to make a complete assessment.
And looking beyond this particular business park, are you familiar, I think you were indicating, with other sites where multiple uses share parking lots and drive aisles and that involve the kinds of, turning, parking, and circulation movements that would be involved here?
Yeah, I think my testimony was, and what I'm willing to repeat is that, I mean, based on my 30 plus years of experience having conducted traffic studies of all different types of uses and sites, and also obviously using many of these sites, familiar with business parks in particular, there's nothing within this business park and how it's designed, how it functions, how it operates, how vehicles circulate, how they have access to parking. There's nothing that's unique that causes me concern that it's designed poorly or would create particular safety issues or concerned. This business park, I would consider to be typical of many, and it has all the elements necessary for sufficient circulation for vehicles, loading. Pedestrians and as well as the ability for vehicles to park on both sides of the drive aisle. So that would be my a more expanded, testimony of what you had asked me previously.
Thank you. Is there anything else that came up on cross that you'd like to speak to further that you didn't have a chance to fully explain?
Nope.
Then that's all my questions. Thank you, Mr. Schramm.
Okay. Is there any recross? Nope. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Schramm, I think you've made it through your testimony today. It was a long day for you, I know. So thank you for your testimony.
Believe it or not, I've had longer ones, but doesn't make it any easier. Thank you. Appreciate
Yep.
it.
So I guess the next question is just who's left? I think that probably the witnesses will all be, we're at 4:15. I promised everybody a early release in lieu of the 15-minute break. So, but I did want to get a sense on witness number for tomorrow.
For the applicant, we anticipate calling one other witness who will be much, much shorter than Mr. Schramm. probably I would say 30 minutes or less direct. It is possible we would have a second witness where that direct would be, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes, just a couple of small points, but I expect only one.
Okay. All right. And then is Mr. Smith, what's the latest for on his testimony from the county?
The latest word is that he will be able to join us tomorrow.
Okay.
I guess I'd anticipate that the applicant's witness would go first and then Mr. Smith.
Okay. And then was there anyone, I know you have other, there are other individuals on the county's witness list, but were you intending to call any of them tomorrow? I know some of them won't, like there was a, some that are on issues that are no longer in the appeal. So I guess the only, because the fire, Mr. Bryant probably would not, and then you have a Peggy Bakalarski, maybe.
We identify, as you know, we identify witnesses sometimes in an abundance
Yep,
of caution.
absolutely.
So at this point, I only expect to call Mr. Smith,
Okay.
and I guess I'll leave to others whether they would like the fire official to testify. I don't anticipate calling that person. If it, as I noted earlier, Mr. Bryant is apparently not the witness who would have any testimony to offer regarding fire access. It would instead be David
Right. I
Kleiner.
mean, yeah, you mentioned that earlier. Yep. Okay. Well, I think we will conclude tomorrow then. I probably will be online tomorrow. I think we do have the hearing room tomorrow as well. I suspect though I will participate unless there's strong sentiment for my appearing here. Happy to do that. So, if there's strong, I don't know. I don't. Were you all with the appellants? Yeah, you all have been steadfastly here for the last 2 days. So, were you all going to planning to appear in person tomorrow, or
I'm sorry, I got distracted for a minute.
oh,
I didn't
sorry.
hear whether you were planning to be here
So, yeah,
tomorrow.
I was thinking about appearing remotely tomorrow since it'll be a shorter day. But I didn't know if any of the parties preferred by presence remote or in person, or and also I'm just curious kind of what your all the appellant's plans were.
I think in that case we'll appear remotely.
Okay. All right. And either is fine. I think, yeah, you'll st
If anyone changes their mind, I'll be here.
All right. Okay. I think that's any procedural issues that we need to, yes, Mr.
I
Cartman.
might, sorry, I'm just going back to the witnesses. I think where we started today, we had identified some claims that the appellants had decided not to pursue. And if there's any others of those, it might enable us to be even shorter tomorrow. Would just appreciate, I know that sometimes evolves, but if there's any other claims on that list, it would be great to know what those are.
I think, I mean, it's just the tra like I think at this point it's just the traffic, which me it that's in turn the circulation, the parking is really that's what's before me, so I understand it.
And I don't think this will be any surprise that sort of the county's review process, which we'll be talking to
Right.
the county's
Yes.
witnesses about.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That yes, that was the other piece of it. So yeah. All right. Any other questions? Okay. All right. It's 4:19. We will reconvene tomorrow. I think everyone will probably be online. Mr. Walker, I don't know how you will, but however you wish is fine. And we will reconvene at 9 a.m. So thank you all for your appearances today. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.